is, and I wish to say good evening to everybody. I am Art Bell. My guest is Dr. Bruce Goldberg. He'll be back in a moment. Another fax in. Dear Art, Anchorage, Alaska, we felt it too. At least a six-pointer. P.S. Gurgle, gurgle. Obviously, a little chilled Alaskan humor there from Rocky and Pam. Thanks very much, folks. Very encouraging. Very positive. Maybe if everybody feels that way, we are doomed, according to Dr. Goldberg. Actually, according to Dr. Goldberg, we're not at all. I want to take a second out. We've got a pretty heavy commercial load. We're booked tight, actually with a waiting list to get on this program to give you some idea of its popularity. The C. Crane Company has for some time...
999.
Back now with Dr. Bruce Goldberg. Doctor, would changing the impending death of yourself or another be like fooling Mother Nature? Would it be like that?
No, not really. You can't fool Mother Nature. You can just simply sidetrack her. Mm. I mean, basically, you know, technically, there are things that you can do. We fool Mother Nature, if you will, or try to disguise it with modern medicine. I mean, people live longer than they ever did before.
That's true.
And so that doesn't cause the space-time continuum to go into some sort of like a reverse zit here. I mean, people still go on. But let me show you, one of the things that I think both you may relate to this as well as I'm sure your listeners will, is the idea of a lot of these events, like progressions and regressions, our body experiences, etc., are preceded by dreams. In the case that was made into the movie, The Search for Grace, my new book, this was a woman who was murdered by the same man 20 times in 46 lives. And when she came to see me, she was getting these nightmares, these literally post-traumatic stress disorders type of nightmares of being murdered by a man looking differently, but she realized or felt it was the same person. When she went through all these exotic experiences and was able to remove this karmic bond, if you will, this negative karmic trait and karmic debt, if you will, and she was able to break off this relationship, just before doing that, she had dreams of herself being murdered by him in her current life. Yeah. Had she not have ended that relationship. And literally, had she not have done this, you know, I don't take credit for this case, it's really hers. I only train patients to do their thing, you know. But had she not had done that, she probably would have been murdered. He tried to murder her on three different occasions. It was a very, very exotic case. But my point here is that she was able to change her future mm-hmm. by having some sneak previews by dreams, but also by being able to literally raise the quality of her own soul's energy by using the very simple techniques that we use.
And interestingly, without the world coming apart.
That's right.
All right.
No earthquakes at the same time.
I hate to even bring this up, but I'm going to do it. The O.J. trial, as you know, they talked about dreams in the O.J. trial. Mm-hmm. He reportedly had one. And they made a big deal out of it. Marcia Clark, the prosecutor, said, a dream is your heart's wish, or your heart's desire. I can't remember. She was quoting Disney. Is that what a dream is? What is a dream?
Now, actually, I tell you, Marcia Clark does not have degrees in psychology, I grant you.
Well, she thinks she does.
Although you should see her topless, though, pick up the Inquirer. But anyway...
Are you serious? Do they have a topless picture of Marcia?
Oh, sure, yeah. It's censored, but yeah.
It's incredible.
Big topic, sure. This is before she got her briefs, but the point here about dreams, what dreams are physiologically, see, I deal with like real hard science.
Mm-hmm.
And what dreams are, when you have a dream, it doesn't matter what the theme is. The dream that you're having is actually a remnant of anywhere between 30 and 50 fragments of dreams. They really do mean nothing. Now, when they do actually come true like a precognitive dream, or when you dream about a past experience that it actually documents and lays out as a past life regression, that's fine. You're getting a nice scenario coming in. But most dreams are just absolute nothing but... you might say the mind doodling at night. They really don't mean it. They're not necessarily the heart's want. I mean, that's.
I have said that. The random firing of synapses.
Well, I mean, do you think people all want to take a swan dive into some fjord? I mean, a lot of these dreams, which are really nothing but out-of-body experiences, are when people are floating in the air and they feel like they go into the splat on the ground, but they never quite splat. You know, they just sort of like fall, and they keep on falling. And these beautiful dreams, some of, what about the sexual dreams? Does that mean that all these sexual dreams people have, they're trying to do half the county? I mean, you know, it's not quite, some of them are just wishful thinking, sure. Some of them are actual reviews of real past and future experiences. And some of them are nothing but a big, you might say, antipasto of just things that are going on in different levels. So I wouldn't sell the farm based on
a dream. I talked to somebody the other day, doctor, who said, we're talking about falling dreams. He said, I actually have come to the point where I'll have a falling dream and I'll wake up, or no, wrong, I'll realize midway down, actually realize that I'm dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to have the experience, I willed myself to go ahead and fall the rest of the way.
Yeah.
And he said, I landed, or crashed, more like it, and laughed and got up and shook myself off and woke up.
Well, he had now that you now change the terminology. Now he had a lucid dream, which means that you now know that you're dreaming,
mm-hmm.
which really changes the rules now. The lucid dream is actually almost a somnambulistic or very deep-level hypnotic trance is really what you're doing when you're doing that.
Hmm.
But now he's changing the rules. See, most people, if you talk about their dreams of falling, they never splat. They simply, they wake up beforehand. Either they wake up yelling or screaming, or they just wake up and they say, you know, that was kind of pleasant, but I really wish I wasn't falling.
With a start. I usually wake up with kind of a start.
Right. What that is basically, it's a conscious remnant of an out-of-body experience. All dreams are out-of-body experiences. This has been documented for nearly 40 years now. So basically, he now is now changing the terms by being a lucid dreamer, which is very hard to do. It takes a lot of training, actually, to do it.
But wait a minute. You're changing the story on me midway here. You're saying now, first you said all dreams are basically random synapses firing. Now you're saying all dreams are out-of-body experiences.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're both. One is not necessarily a problem with the other. I mean, out-of-body experiences simply means that when you're dreaming, the soul, the subconscious mind, or spirit is leaving the physical body,
mm-hmm.
and when it enters into it, the synapses that you're referring to, the firing of synapses and the hypothalamus and all the storage of memories, etc., are simply just retrieving what you did when you took your little trip out of the body. I mean, that's part of the system.
Wow.
But see, the point here is that most people don't dream of splatting or landing. What they do is they simply wake up beforehand. He changed
that's
the
right.
rules by being a lucid dream, and now you can, now you're in a different ballgame. Now you're in a yeah, you add another gear to the car here, you see. So now he can control that dream any way he wants to. You know, there was a great movie called Dreamscape. I don't remember, it came out about 5 or 6 years ago, where people would dream about, actually, the dreams were reality, and they were dreaming about this plot to kill the president or whatever they were doing.
Right.
It was a great movie where the dreams were actually real, and they were implanting real dreams into people to do their thing. Of course, it was science fiction, but again, it's based upon science. But no, dreams are actually, most people, when they die at night, those people that are old, you know, elderly or dying of natural causes, if you will, they will die in the middle of the night in the dream levels, because the dream levels represent a very uptight and very tense area as compared to the unconscious mind, whereas during the waking day, the dream levels or the daydream levels of alpha or hypnosis or simple daydreams, as you would call it, is really the more relaxing part of the day.
When you take somebody through a regression or a progression, how much of what you learn do you tell, and how much on a regular basis would you hold back?
Well, actually, I hold back almost nothing, because I don't have to hold back anything. They're telling me. I don't tell them. I'm not a psychic. I ask them the questions. It's almost like an O.J. Simpson interrogation here. I ask them the questions, and they say, I see, where are you? I'm on a carriage driving in London in 1921 with rhinestones on the boots, whatever, and they tell me everything. Now, the patients who will not be able to recall, where, of course, I will tape those sessions when they have what we call hypnoamnesia, those are people who are in a fairly deep level of trance, and that's only going to be about maybe 20% of the population that will do that. 80% minimum will have complete, absolute memories of everything that they do.
Hmm.
So I don't have to withhold. I don't have to have past life regression interrupt this over anything here.
What is the process that will prevent recall, do you suppose?
Well, of course, there are a couple of things. Number one, if a person is perceiving anything that's traumatic and they don't want to recall it, just like a person will not remember, you know, if you ask most people to describe what they were like in junior high school and high school, they will probably tell you they were the captain of the football team and had 17 cheerleaders, when in fact they probably had, you know, pen holders in their pockets and very thick glasses, you know? I mean, people have a tendency to exaggerate their background to avoid the negativity.
Well, then what leads you to believe that they would not exaggerate the existence of a past life or a future life? In other words, to fantasize.
Well, of course, in The Search for Grace, this was a case where I'm not real big person on documentation. I do have cases that are fairly documented over the years, but this was a case where I turned over to CBS, who then had an independent researcher look at the material. As it turned out, not only was the woman accurate on 24 facts that she gave, mm-hmm. but two of the things she reported in trans, namely her age at her death, she said she was 32 and not looking forward to her 33rd birthday, and she said the name of her son was Cliff. The newspaper reports said that she was 30 years old and her son's name was Chester Jr. As it turned out, surveying the birth and death certificates, which in New York State where this occurred, you have to get the political permission of the governor's office, and nobody could get that unless you're a family member, and this woman is far from a family member. As it turns out, she was right, they were wrong. So therefore, not only does this case document, but it documented on facts that she should have told me the false data had she just read newspaper reports. It now stands as one of the most documented cases of the century.
Okay, it seems irrefutable, but again, my question, past that case, mm-hmm. How many cases of this sort do you suppose what you get is fanciful?
Well, actually, I'll tell you, when I do the regression, I can't speak for anyone else. When I do a regression, I at times use what we call the federal model to make it as objective as possible. I'm really not particularly worried about the data because when I do check them out or I hire researchers to do that when I don't have the time or the ability to go across the country on these things, I find a tremendous validity to it. Well, I mean, when they're dealing with the ancient continent of Atlantis or Lemuria, or they're dealing with the 34th century progression on another planet, obviously, unless you're real patient, you know, you're going to have to wait around for that. But the regressions that I get from other patients, not just Ivy, the one in The Search for Grace, but others are very, very valid. In fact, I've had people who just used my past life regression tape. There's a very interesting woman who, she heard me on a radio show out of Boston, and she ordered this tape, and she went into a past life that took her into North Carolina in the late 1600s, where she was working in a farm, a plantation for cotton or whatever it was, and she then took a vacation, decided to check this out, went into the court records, and by the way, the court records on the East Coast do have inventory going back to the 1600s. They're actually kept on court files.
Huh.
And in fact, it turned out that the number of bushels of cotton that she read out in trance that she remembered was actually on the court records, and that her name, the dates, the family that she had, all of that verified. So she literally documented her life just by playing a past life regression tape. And she'd never been south of the Mason-Dixon line in her life. She was a good old New Englander from heart. And so here's an example of another case of people actually validating it. So I think the information, if properly done, we're assuming the person is a competent therapist, we're assuming that the patient trusts the therapist, and that this isn't some sort of a game or joke, and that there is, you know, the person is in a decent level of trance, that really isn't difficult at all. And I think the information properly done is extremely valid. So valid that not only am I, but my colleagues are, as a forensic consultant, hypnosis, age regression, just age regression, not past life, is used in all major police departments in this country. Every LAPD, NYPD, all of them, they all have either people like me, outside consultants, or captains or sergeants or lieutenants or et cetera, mm-hmm. people who are trained to use investigative hypnosis to go back to get data that can be corroborated independently in their investigation, and it's done all the time.
It's remarkable. One of the things, again, just for a second, I can't resist on the O.J. trial.
All right.
One of the things you recall with respect to this dream, the introduction of this testimony was made possible because O.J. had said to somebody, I had a dream of this, and so I think it would affect my lie detector test results. Would you think that to be a valid comment?
Well, actually, I think that, first of all, the dream should never be, if you talk to any attorney, the dream should never be admitted. I mean, this is going to be automatically a case for appeal if you...
I agree.
It's ridiculous.
I do agree.
Secondly, the polygraph is not admissible either, so you have two not inadmissible things that should be inadmissible.
Having said that, though.
All right, having said that, the dream himself, if the dream convinced him one way or another, that's one thing. If the dream upset him, see, the lie detector, a polygraph, which of course is not admissible, only detects emotional spikes in your system. When you lie, you're supposed to worry about it and get stressed, and the BMR, the basic metabolic rate, and the heart rate, and the pulse rate is supposed to go up, and that's what the lie detector is measuring. That's all it measures. John Dillinger was infamous for being able to take lie detector tests when it was admissible and pass them. And that's true. It's quite true. Any ask an FBI agent, they'll tell you about that. I have former agents who work for me who told me that, and I've also read reports on that. He had no super ego, no soul, literally. He could just simply lie like a trooper, didn't think it was lying, or didn't, he could just simply get away with it. So, if anything, if he dreamt about his old TV series being canceled, you know, anything that would upset him, then that would make the lie detector, of course, the spike and jump and make him sound like he was lying.
So he was really right.
Well, he was right, of course, but it didn't have to be the dream. He could have just gone over, you know, one of his games where he only gained 20 yards against the Dolphins in 1972. You know, that could have done it, too. It could have been anything. So
I also take it, by the way, that somebody who could consistently pass a lie detector test and lie successfully could have a session with Dr. Goldberg and come away having fooled you.
Well, you know something, I've thought of that myself, and a pathological liar, or maybe a paranoid schizophrenic who's very good at that.
Yes.
It hasn't happened yet, but it did happen to a colleague of mine.
Yes.
The man, do you know the book Abductions by John Mack?
I talked to Dr. Mack not long ago here on the air, so yes, I know all about it. Right. Yes.
Well, there was a case that apparently got by him, and I don't know the details of that particular situation, but I have never run into that. I mean, I've been on so many television shows with patients of mine, radio and TV shows, that if anybody was trying to dupe me, or whether it be one of these organizations like a certain one in Buffalo, New York, that we both, I'm sure, know very well, who like to plant people in places like that or research laboratories to try to say, oh, guess what, this is a magician, and the whole thing's a scam, you know? But I have never had that, and I've been doing this for over 20 years, and boy, I'll tell you, I'm a real target. If anybody wants to try to do that, boy, you know, I mean, I'm very public with this.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
I've never had that problem, but then again, whether it's good karma or whether it's simply the fact that I really do feel that with hypnosis and with proper techniques, it really would be tough. I think I could detect a liar or somebody who's trying to fake it in a New York minute. Because I've had one occasion where a husband of a wife I was working with, who was trying to corroborate a past life tie, and he was just trying to patronize his wife, and of course I saw him separately, and he did try to fudge it, and I said, look, I said, I know what you're trying to do here, and I really don't appreciate it. He said, how'd you know, Doc? And I said, it's my job to know, you know? So this was not exactly the good way to prepare for Valentine's Day, you know?
Exactly. Fascinating. Well, we're off on a fascinating track, and what I would like to do shortly is open the telephone lines, maybe out of the bottom of the hour here, and allow people to ask you questions. I didn't realize you knew so much about dreams.
Oh, well, you see, you have to in this field. Remember, my background is with my medical background, with a dental degree, and, of course, a lot of intensive study in neurology here. Dreams are nothing but hypnosis interspersed between the unconscious dream cycle, the sleep cycle. So if you do this field, if you do what I do and don't know a lot about dreams, then you're really sort of like in the wrong ballpark here.
Can you produce, in other words, in a hypnotic trance, can you in effect produce a dream?
Well, hypnotic trance is a daydream.
Is a daydream.
So basically, the only difference is the person doesn't snore usually, and that the fact that they're interspersing the hypnotic level with the conscious mind proper or willpower or beta brainwave level, whereas at night, the nocturnal dream, or the what we call the regular dream, is going to be interspersed with the theta and delta of the unconscious mind. That's the only difference.
One last OJ question, then I'm done.
All right.
I know you deal with obsessive compulsive people.
Right.
And my take on the OJ thing has been that he was obsessive and compulsive about her, and that she may have broken the straw of the camel by a little bit of taunting. I mean, you taunt an obsessive compulsive person, and you may well push them over the edge. Is that a reasonable take?
It's a reasonable take, but see, what you're doing here is you're making the same assumption that a lot of people, both in and out of the media, do, and they assume that he's guilty, and that still isn't something that has been demonstrated yet. But yeah,
well, with the amount of evidence, I calculate he is either A, guilty, or B, was framed. No other answer seems very likely.
I agree with that too. But my point here is that he was definitely obsessed. He was obsessed with his football career. If you talk to any of his fellow athletes.
All right, we're going to have to hold it there. We're at the bottom of the hour. But basically, you gave me the answer I wanted. Yes. Thank you very much. Dr. Goldberg, back in a flash. You're listening to Dreamland.
This hour of Art Bell was recorded for rebroadcast at this time. Please do not call.
We're about to open the phone line, so listen carefully.
From the Kingdom of Nine, we continue with your calls on Dreamland with Art Bell. Call Art now, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. 1-800-618-TALK. First-time callers, area code 702-727-1222. 702-727-1222. Or the wildcard line at area code 702-727-1295. 727-1295 in the 702 area code. Now again, here's Art Bell.
Now again, here I am. The number given, the 800 number, was for west of the Rockies. That's 1-800. 618-8255. I confuse myself. 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, it's 1-800-825-5033. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. And in just a moment, back to Dr. Goldberg and your calls coming up. Fascinating topic. We're going to try to go through several questions quickly. I've got several faxes, and they're relevant.
Okay.
Art, one question posed on other programs, my programs, is when you die, should you go to the light or the dark?
You always go to the light.
Always go to the light.
The white light.
Mm-hmm. We had somebody who came on the air and troubled me greatly and said, the light is a trick, go to the darkness. And then, let's see, when your guest talked about parallel dimensions, are we each on a different dimension as individuals, or are we all on in the same dimension?
Well, there's an infinite number of universes, as we call it out there, but you and your family and the people that that we're talking to right now are on a certain parallel universe. So we are on the same one. However, there are plenty of others out there, too, and if you're able to see those, which you could do with progression techniques, then you can be programmed and switched to your ideal path.
Mm-hmm. Art, the soul only leaves the body at what is called death. When we project out of body, we are extending our consciousness to a point or place, and the soul stays in the body.
Well, that's really not true. Your soul leaves the body a lot, actually. It leaves it during the dream levels. That's 3 hours a night. It leaves it through the 4 hours that you spend in daydreams or hypnotic levels during the waking day. So the soul is out of the body for 7 hours out of every 24-hour cycle.
All right, let's go to the phones. I promised call the wild card lines, area 702-727-1295. Okay, let's try it again. Rod, we don't allow last names on the air.
Okay.
Let's just say this is Rod. Where are you calling from, Rod?
This is Rod calling from Round Lake Beach.
From
Illinois.
All right.
Okay. Yeah. I had a dream. I was wondering if Dr. Gold would understand this. Now, I'm a paranoid schizophrenic.
Yeah.
And I have these out-of-body experiences. I have them every night. I go into these deep meditations. And what I dreamt was that I had this girlfriend, and I was walking under these power lines by my home, and my pants started to glow. And they were like under a black light. I seen three gold statues coming out of the sky. One of them was me. One of them was my sister. One of them was my brother. I came down and I got bigger. As they got bigger and they got closer, they got bigger. I could walk and meditate at the same time. I was dark out. The sun had been down for a couple of hours. And my girlfriend wanted a dollar for some smokes. I said, no, I had $700 in my pocket. She went to the top of the hill. I was at the bottom. Everything got foggy and white. Now, as it got foggy, the only way I could tell my way home was by the trees.
All right, we're almost out of time.
Well, basically, Rod, the fact that you gave me a history of paranoid schizophrenia is a problem in the sense that the actual mechanisms of your brain's functioning with the dream is going to be a little bit distorted than others. However, these dreams mean whatever they mean to you. Remember that these are fragments of 30 to 50 different dreams. It sounds like you're trying to make sense out of it, and what I'm saying is that enjoy the dream or you go on with your life and don't put a lot of faith in it. All it is just a dream.
Fascinating. But you say paranoia and schizophrenia would modify the way...
Yeah. The fact that the way he fires his synapses and the way he interprets things and the way he even acts behaviorally will be affected because of the syndrome itself, because it is a psychotic behavior. So therefore, what that means is that the mind levels and the dream levels are also going to be off on more, shall we say, exotic levels than people who don't have that particular syndrome.
Fascinating. West of the Rockies, you're on with Dr. Bruce Goldberg. Hi.
Hi, this is John from San Diego.
Yes, John.
I got a question for Dr. Goldwood.
Goldberg.
It's Goldberg, and welcome to AODO.
I apologize.
Sorry.
I have a question about nightmarish dreams.
Mm-hmm.
The question is that when someone has a nightmarish dream one night and wake up the next morning having this nightmarish dream continue on, and on until it becomes a memory at times?
Wait a minute, caller, I have a question. When you say continues on, you have the same dream again, or the dream actually continues where it left off?
What this dream I had in a nightmarish dream is that it happened in a nighttime, and it has to do with things with the Army.
Okay, I repeat, caller. I don't need to know the content of the dream, but does it continue or does it repeat?
It repeats itself over and over and over like a memory.
Okay, now, this
is very important. The repetition of the dream is one of the ways your subconscious mind, or your soul as we call it, is trying to tell you that you haven't dealt with something. That's the key here. When you resolve something, for example, you're talking about something that happened in the early part of this life. You mentioned the Army. I assume you were in the Army?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, there was something about that dream that you did not deal with, or that is representing something that you didn't deal with, and that's why you're having this little sort of like alarm clock going off. Whatever that is, that needs to be dealt with. Once that is dealt with, you will no longer have those dreams. In my particular specialty, when people come to see me and have past life dreams, some of them are very violent endings. When we go through the experiences and when they learn to raise their soul's energy by what we call cleansing techniques, which they're also partially trained to use via tapes, then they no longer have the dreams. Just like Ivy in The Search for Grace, she no longer had the dreams of being murdered once she realized who Johnny was and once she was able to overcome that obsession and that attraction to him. So you need to deal with this, is what I'm saying.
But, Doctor, would this help be like in a aggression sort of hypnosis to bring out what this memory was?
Or? Absolutely. It would help you to find out what it is. But more importantly, interesting enough, that isn't even that important. What's important here is that this is a little complicated, but your soul's energy where you're functioning right now is compromised, which is why you're vulnerable to those dreams. Once you raise the soul's energy, you don't even have to understand the content. You will automatically be able to rise above the issue, just like building up your immune system.
However, I was going to make the same parallel. It's just like the immune system then.
Right. It's exactly the same thing. It's an energy immune system, actually.
Hmm.
So, but the point is that in your case, I think because you seem to be more intellectually involved with this and you know, want to know what's going on, the laying this out in an age regression would be a way of having you lay out the complete scenario. Once that's done, you'll never have those dreams again.
All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Bruce Goldberg. Hello, where are you calling from, please?
I'm calling from Kenosha, Wisconsin. My name's Renzo.
Yes, sir.
I was wondering, well, I have these dreams, but I wake up, I feel like I had slept, I sleepwalked.
Mm-hmm.
That's how vivid it is.
Right. Do you find yourself actually in different physical positions, like in a different room when you come out of these dreams?
No.
Okay, because you actually can sleepwalk even as an adult. It's rare, but it does happen.
Well, the dream, I come back to the bed, and it's a recurring dream.
But do you have all the people where you live that might have testified whether you actually did walk and leave?
No, I don't.
Okay.
All right. I'll add something. Doctor, my younger sister did exactly that when she was young. It was absolutely frightening. She would get up in the middle of the night, and she would walk whatever she was dressed in.
Right.
She would walk. It was really eerie and really scary.
Right.
And
now,
a few times she walked right out of the house and down the street.
But I'll bet she grew out of that as she grew older.
She did, yes.
Right. Now, most people will grow out of it. However, some people have other remnants of that. For example, I used to date this young lady who would call me at 3 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes I was actually up.
Huh.
And she wouldn't have any idea what the call was about. She would talk, and very intelligent. She was very bright. She was very articulate. And she would say, listen, I'll see you tomorrow. And then I would say, gee, how come you called me 3 o'clock? And she goes, I didn't call you at 3 o'clock. I swear I didn't call you. She would swear in a Bible that she didn't call me. And in fact, she did. So this is a form of an adult form of somnambulism, as they would call it. But basically, these deeper dreams, is there something else you're trying to make out? Obviously, you're having very deep dreams. I don't doubt that. But is there anything else going on that... I mean, you would know if you slept walk because you would have, like, your feet would be dirty or you'd be cold.
You'd have physical signs.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on. You're on the air coast to coast with Dr. Bruce Goldberg. Good evening. No, you're not. Let's see. Here.
Lost in a dream.
Yeah, that lost in a dream. Dr. Bruce Goldberg is my guest, and you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, hi. I like to know, like, I always have dreams about God talking to me. Mm-hmm. So what do you say? It's like, it's really God talking to me, so...
Most likely, it's one of two things. We call this your higher self, or your superconscious mind, and the other is what are called masters and guides. Those are the two most likely candidates. The problem is that when you have this higher energy or perfect being, if you will, communicate with you, most people will assume it's either God or Jesus or whatever their belief system is, and usually that's not the case.
It's not?
No.
So isn't we all trying to go up to the highest to get to the heavens? Or?
Right. The problem is that, you see, unfortunately, I explain this more in my older book, Past Life Visualized, which has a complete dissertation about the different plane concepts. We're on the Earth plane. This is the lowest of five planes that make up the karmic cycle. Therefore, the 13th plane is what you would call the God plane, or heaven, nirvana, whatever you want to call it. There's no communication between the God plane or manifestations and the Earth plane. All you can get are what's on the lower five planes. Now, you can, however, access your higher self, which is you in your perfect form, or you can access a master or guide, which is somebody that you've probably known in past lives who has perfected themselves, but instead of going on to the God plane or the higher planes, has decided to stay around and help you and others to perfect themselves. But there's no real documentation or way we can even metaphysically, let alone scientifically, show that a person is actually contacting God. Their higher self or masters and guides are far more logical.
All right, so we are on the lowest plane.
Yep.
Just as a matter of curiosity, when there is an apparition, when there is a ghost or a spirit, or whatever it is that people call these things that appear, and it appears here on Earth, is it in effect slumming?
Slumming, did you say?
Slumming. Yes.
Well, yes. I mean, there are times, for example, I had a woman I just saw from Northern California who was actually being she was influenced by the spirit of her late husband in a previous life who was actually trying to dominate her and causing her all kinds of problems with her current husband as well as drinking and all kinds of other things. And all it was an attempt at a past life possession, which, of course, doesn't work very well. But sure, there are entities that float around. There are no real demons or evil spirits, per se. What there are poltergeists or ghosts or astral bodies, as we call them, that simply have not reincarnated, and they simply hang around. Sometimes they annoy people. Sometimes they just simply are wandering and troubled spirits. But you made a comment before which ties into this, which I want to reinforce again. This is a very serious one. When you said that, I don't know who it was, and I don't really want to know who it was, but that person who said that when you see the white light, go to the darkness,
yes,
that's a real... I mean, if anybody has had that experience, if anybody has anybody tell them that, please call me at my 1-800-KARMA-4U number or 1-800-527-6248. I want to speak to you immediately. That is the worst possible advice anybody could ever give you. The white, it always represents purity. If you look around with rituals and all kinds of techniques, white is the good. White is always pure. Or even white magic, which I really have a problem with anyway, but at least they use the term white in that aspect. But whenever somebody says, go to the darkness, boy, is that is the worst possibility. When a person has a near-death experience, they will always, almost always, anyway, if they remember this, they will always be surrounded by a white light. They will go to a white light, and the white light will be the way, they're sort of like escalator, if you will, to the higher, to the soul plane before they reincarnate. So white light is
important. Note, I'm glad you told me that, Doctor, because it was me that was told that on the air, and of course, along with everybody else, and it has troubled me for years.
Really? Yeah. Well, it's something that, see, to me, if had you not, and I'm glad you brought it up, because people actually do that, they give that kind of advice. Usually the person giving that advice either doesn't know anything, or more importantly, is that they're trying to get people into the other aspects, like negative projection techniques, black arts, voodoo, you name it. There are so many problems like that around that I face, because I work with people to deprogram them from these influences. And white is always, you'll never lose with white. When somebody sees an aura, and they see a white, golden, or yellow, or orangey kind of aura, that's positive and pure. When they see a grayish or blackish overtone, that person's in trouble. Usually they're dying or something is occurring that is not really metaphysically positive here.
All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Bruce Goldberg. Hi.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
My name is Saul.
All right. Just give us your first name and where you're calling from.
I'm calling from Russell, Illinois.
Yes.
Hi. This is Dr. Goldberg. Can I help you?
Well, yes. I was wondering, well, you know how all science fact has proven that the Bible basically is wrong.
Well, when you say the Bible is wrong, I don't know what you specifically mean. I mean,
what do you mean, Cole?
Yeah.
Well, people would listen to this show and think that you're evil. They don't. In church, they say that aliens aren't real. They're et cetera. You know.
Well, you have to understand. You know, to me, I don't like the word wrong here. I prefer that everybody's entitled to their belief system, and the Bible, of course, has made certain predictions which are supposed to occur in the next 4 and 5 years. And those will be either right or wrong, I can tell you that, and I can tell you that they're not going to happen. But basically, you know, you have to determine your own faith. See, the spiritual aspects of metaphysics really fits very nicely in any form of religion, if you want to call it that, if you will. But to me, the point is not what you believe in, not whether you're Jewish, Christian, Buddhist, Islamic, or whatever it is what you do with it. And the do unto others is really a karmic principle, not just a Christian principle. So
yes,
I don't think it's incompatible.
Yes, but Doctor, a lot of Christians out there would say the things you deal with, regressions, progressions, you talk of spirits, you talk of spirit levels, and all of that to the average Christian is evil stuff.
Well, but so did Jesus talk about that, and so did the apostles. I mean, spirits have been around forever, and the idea of Easter coming up, you know, if you will, is nothing but reincarnation. So, I mean, it's a question of, I think, the names that we give it, and maybe I come across, you know me very well, I come across from this from a very scientific perspective.
Yes.
And to me, it's a clinical discipline. So to me, although I do agree and believe in the theory because I've tested it clinically myself, however, my bottom line as a therapist in Los Angeles here is that patients come to me because they have real issues, habits, phobias. They're victims of negative projection techniques. They have all kinds of things from sexual dysfunction to various forms of psychosomatic issues. And using these techniques and energy cleansing techniques, which, by the way, are backed by hard science, simply helps them to resolve issues, to grow, to empower themselves, which is my main point here, is having people become independent of drugs and of people like me, even therapists, is to go on with their lives. And to me, hey, if that's evil, then, you know, sign me up for it.
I mean, it works. First time caller line, you're on the air with Dr. Bruce Goldberg. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hi there.
I'm sorry. The line is not too great.
Okay, where are you calling from?
Oregon,
okay. What is your question?
Last week I had my first regression, and to work on a specific issue.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, I found myself as a light being on Alpha Centauri.
All right.
And I was very surprised about it.
Okay, now you're bringing up something very, very interesting. In my older book, Past Lives, Future Lives, there's a chapter called Bob and the Light People. What you're describing is what we call a light people regression, in which instead of being in a physical body, you are in pure energy, namely light. This is a very relatively rare occurrence. It's about maybe 3 to 5% of my regressions. And my guess is that the information that you were trying to attain was probably very difficult to get, was it not?
Yes.
Okay. A light people regression is actually a very almost like a sensor type of regression. It's very difficult to get. But this is, you are not paranoid schizophrenic here or psychologically disturbed because of this. If anything, what you're experiencing is potentially a very therapeutic experience. I don't know how experienced the therapist that you were working with was in dealing with light people. This is not something that everybody has in their armamentarium.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got tremendous potential. The problem is, when I used to practice dentistry, this would be like taking out an impacted wisdom tooth. It's a very difficult situation to get data from.
All right, I'm sorry, we're very short on time, about 20 seconds. Who are the light people? What are you talking about?
The light people basically are extraterrestrials, if you will, who actually came to the Earth and actually created the karmic cycle. What they did was they inhabited the physical body of man before there was Homo sapiens.
Wow.
And actually did a lot of nasty things which caused them to be trapped in the physical body, namely their energy, and that's why we have a karmic cycle.
Well,
Alpha Centauri, among others, is considered to be one of the sources.
All right, that's it. We're out of time for this hour. We'll be back with Dr. Bruce Goldberg. Boy, I'm glad I've asked. We'll come back and talk more about the light people in a moment. This is CBC.
This is Frontiers, a space and aeronautics report.